This morning I want to just share with you some thoughts. It's interesting as we use, of course, you folks know we use an airplane in our ministry. And it's interesting, as I fly the plane, it's interesting how many different thoughts go through my head as I'm flying. And you know, sometimes when you're flying, a bit like when you're driving, maybe when you're driving on I-95, you can drive down I-95, and sometimes there's not much traffic. Sometimes there might be more traffic, but I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes when there's not much traffic and you're driving along, you just kind of have the cruise control on. I don't have autopilot in the plane that we fly, that the Lord has allowed us to use for His work. But even when I'm flying, when it's a smooth day and I have everything all trimmed out, and I'm flying along, sometimes it's easy for your mind to start contemplating on different things and to just kind of reflect on different things. And I don't know if that happens to you when you're driving. Perhaps it does. But it's interesting, one of the songs that actually you're going to hear, Lord willing, this morning during the morning service, a song that you're going to hear for special music, was a song that our daughter Kelsey wrote in the plane. And I, unbeknownst to me, I didn't know about it till last week, she told us. And Rebecca was helping her get the chords down for the words that she had in her mind. And I said, why didn't you tell us about this earlier? I said, it's beautiful, and it's a missions theme song. You know, as I was flying and contemplating in the plane, of course, there's various instruments. Even though the plane is a 1977 Cessna 172, there's several different instruments, a lot of different things to look at, but it's relatively simple. But as I was thinking about the different instruments I look at and the different aspects of each instrument and how it affects the flight, you know, as what it shows me and as I interpret it, as I interpret what it says, how that affects how I fly, my reaction to what I see, I thought about our Christian lives and also about our service to the Lord, whether it be a missionary or a pastor or a church member at the local church. And I want to draw your attention to a few different things in the airplane as kind of a mental memory aid, perhaps, that might help you to remember some important biblical truths in our daily lives and as we consider the area of missions. And so, first thing I want to draw your attention to this morning, if you would just contemplate and reflect with me, and I don't know, Pastor Linville, if you do this or not, but I would like to have a little bit of your feedback, if you could. I'm just going to ask a few questions as I think about different parts of the airplane. But how many of you, first of all, I know the Linvilles, you folks just flew in yesterday to Bangor. Was it to Bangor you flew in? And around noon, we were down near the Bangor airport. And I have a little airport radio, and I just checked in to hear what the winds were, and they were gusting 27 knots. So in statute miles, I think it was gusting about 33 statute miles an hour. So and it was pretty much a direct crosswind because they were landing runway 33 at Bangor, and the winds were out of 250, so 80 degrees off the runway, 30 mile an hour direct crosswind. I said, well, I'm glad I'm on the ground today. It's nice to be on the ground, and I've done that before, but it's nicer not to have to do that.
Our plane landed at 12:00.
Really? Okay.
We were listening.
Okay. Well, we were very comfortable on the ground. I hope you were as comfortable in the air. Probably more comfortable once you get on the ground. You know, one of the things in the airplane that we have, as I consider being well-equipped, it's interesting, before each flight, and perhaps I think truck drivers and firemen and ambulance personnel, they do little walk-arounds of the equipment. You know, it's interesting, before each flight, I have to do a walk-around or a pre-flight before I take off. And I check various things, but I check the function, I don't know, functionality, is that a word in English? In French it's fonctionnement. So sometimes, forgive me, sometimes I'll hesitate on some words in English that I don't use as often in English, because I think in the past year I've only preached 3 times in English. So forgive me if there's some words I hesitate on that I just have to dig back in the recesses of my mind to search for them. But we have to check for the functionality, to make sure everything is in good working order. And the passengers appreciate that. Even if it's taking a while, they say, we appreciate you checking things because we know that everything will be good when we take off. And one of the things that we check for and one of the things that we have on the airplane is the windshield. And I don't know if you guys could maybe guess what the purpose of the windshield is. Can anybody take a guess? A bit like in a car, so it's not too hard. But What do you think the windscreen, we call it in the airplane, they call it the windscreen. They don't actually call it the windshield, they call it the windscreen. But what do you think the primary goals of the windscreen is in the airplane?
To keep you from eating birds.
To keep you from eating birds? To keep you from eating bugs, too. Especially when we go up north. The bugs will carry you away. It feels like it anyway. And one of the places we went to, I said, Kenan, I said, when we're getting out of the plane, and the other fellow that was with me, I said, we're going to try to gather all our stuff before we get out of the plane, and we're going to close the doors really quick, because I want to have as few bugs in there for the flight back as possible. and I didn't want to give them a free ride. But somebody else, what other purpose? The windscreen serves what other purpose?
Aerodynamics,
exactly, yes. It helps for aerodynamics. And another thing, as you can guess, it's windscreen or windshield. It shields you from the air as well. And another thing, too, is pressurization. Airplanes that are pressurized, you have to check when you're checking the windscreen if there's any cracks in the side of it with the pressure of that comes on when the airplane is pressurized. If there's cracks, that's the first place that will be affected, and that's kind of the weakest point that it would need to be replaced. Also, it protects you from the elements, just like in a car. It protects you from the elements, from rain, from ice, etc. It protects you from the elements. You know, as I thought about that, I thought about the windscreen, and I thought about that protection that it gives. I want you to look in your Bibles to Ephesians 6 to start off this morning. We're going to be turning to several different passages, so I hope your fingers are exercised and warmed up this morning, because we're going to put our fingers to good use this morning. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. I don't do a lot of messages like this that are more topical in nature. I like to just have a text and stay in the text. But this morning I'm breaking with kind of my tradition, and it's more topical in nature. But I trust it's a blessing to you just the same. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. The Bible tells us, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Above all, it says, taking the shield of faith. When I consider the windshield and the protection the windshield gives to those in the plane, specifically those in the cockpit, those up front, I think about the fact that the Bible speaks of our faith, and obviously our faith anchored in the person of Jesus Christ, as a shield that protects us, the Bible says, from all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You know, it's interesting, I heard for those in ministry, I don't know if you've heard this statistic or not, but the most common reason that pastors or missionaries, that they leave the ministry, is because of discouragement. Because of discouragement. And I think we know who the author of discouragement is. It's Satan, right? It's one of his fiery darts he wants to throw at not only those in ministry, but those just faithful church members as well. You know, it's interesting. When I think about the area of missions, and when I think about, for a church family, your involvement in missions, what is it that spurs you on to be part of a missionary's ministry? It's faith, is it not? It's faith. I don't know if you do hear Faith Promise, but there's at the church plant in Trois-Rivières, we do Faith Promise. And by faith, we say, Lord, increase our faith. And we want to be involved in the work that you are doing. And you know, as I think about that, I realize too, it's by faith that a missionary is sent out to serve in a country, in a city, in a town, in a village. It's by faith. Why? Because before we go, we don't know what's going to take place. We don't know how the Lord will work. But by faith, we say, Lord, we believe your call. We believe that the spreading of the gospel is your plan, and it is. It's his plan. We believe that you want to use us for your glory. And so often we use the term stepping out by faith. You know, I want to encourage you folks this morning, as you think about your pastors, as you think about your missionaries, pray for their faith, for the strength, for their faith to be strong. You know, it's easy to become burdened down with the cares of ministry, with the cares even of just the daily grind, so to speak, and the various responsibilities, and sometimes discouragement, sometimes disappointment can set in. But pray for your pastor. But in thinking of that, pray for one another as well. Pray that the Lord would increase your faith. Pray the Lord also would keep your faith strong and firmly grounded, firmly rooted in the person of Jesus Christ, firmly rooted in His promises as well. You know, I remember when our children were young and when we were living quite far up north, up on the north shore of the St. Lawrence Seaway, and sometimes when I would have to go for maybe an appointment or go do something on the airplane, and when I would come back from Sept-Îles, when we were living in Havre-Saint-Pierre, and I said, "You kids, when I come home, Daddy's going to try to have something special for you." And you know what? Kelsey and Keenan, they never doubted that I would come home, and they never doubted that I would have something special like I promised them. Why? Because they believed my promise. They believed what I said to be true. And I still remember we were living in a mobile home in Havre-Saint-Pierre. I would pull in, and even above the snowbanks, Kelsey and Keenan would be looking out the window. Oh, Daddy's home. And as I would close the door, I could see, hear Keenan's feet stomping across the living room to the door. You know, it was really special. Why? Because he believed the promise that I was going to be when I was coming home. And he believed that I was going to have something special. And when I would open the door, they would both say, "Oh, it's so good to see you, Daddy. What did you bring for us?" You know what? They were holding on to that promise that I was going to bring them something. I guess you could say they were holding on by faith in the promise that I had made to them. You know, I think about our daily walk, our Christian lives, and I think about, too, as church members in your local church and your involvement in your local church. You know, as we reflect upon missions, as we reflect upon our involvement in missions, which is by faith, to reflect upon our service in the work of the Lord, which is by faith and in the calling that God has given, also in the work that God has promised to accomplish, it is important that we keep a firm faith in Christ, in God's Word, in His promises. We need to be actively feeding our faith. You know, I heard somebody say, you know, whatever you feed, that's what's going to grow. And sometimes in our garden, when we're gardening, we wonder if we're feeding the weeds or we're feeding the plants. We try to feed the plants and try to take the weeds out, but the weeds sometimes have deep roots and they don't like to come out. I want to encourage you to feed your faith, to build up your faith. I think more than ever, we need to be building up our faith in this time and the day that we live in. We need to be building our faith. I want to think about another one, though, as I think about the airplane. In the airplane, depends on what plane you might fly, depends on what plane you might get in, but many planes still have what we call a control yoke. It basically looks like a half a steering wheel, but more rectangular in nature. And it's what they call the control yoke. That's the control that you use. Sometimes it's what they call stick and rudder. The Airbus actually has a small little joystick on the side, on the left and right-hand side for the captain and the first officer. But in the Cessna, we have what they call a control yoke. And like I said, it looks like kind of a half steering wheel, but it's more rectangular in nature. And, you know, I think about the control yoke, I realize that even before I take off, when I'm on the ground, and then when I'm doing my run-up, I check it again. But I check every direction that I can move that plane. And I do that by verifying the controls, the inputs through the control yoke. I pull the control yoke back, and my elevator comes up, so I can climb. I put it down, and the elevator goes back down. I turn it left, and the aileron on the left comes up. The aileron on the right wing goes down, so I can turn left. I turn it right, and the vice versa happens. You know, when I think about the control yoke, I think about the fact that as believers in Jesus Christ, we have a will that we need to submit to our Lord and Savior. We have a will that we need to submit to our Lord and Savior. I want you to turn with me to a few verses in James chapter 4. To start, we're going to just go to James chapter 4 and verse 7. James chapter 4 and verse number 7. And we're going to go to two others as well. When I think about this and in the control yoke and considering the submitting our will to the will of our Lord and Savior, James chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Also turn back with me to the Gospel of Matthew as well. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 24. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And lastly, I want you to go with me just forward a little bit to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 and the last part of verse 42. Luke chapter 22, the last part of verse 42. Actually, we'll read the whole verse. This is, of course, when Jesus was in the garden, he prayed, he said, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You know, as I shared with you, before each flight, I check the control column to make sure that the inputs that I put in, that the plane is going to go in the direction that I want it to go. If I got in the plane, Pastor Linville, if I got in the plane and I turned that control column to the right and the left elevator went up and the right one came down as it would in a left-hand turn, I would say, whoa, we're not taking off right now. We got some work to do. Something has been crossed. Something is not right. We need to look at this. You know, it's interesting when you think about the control column and the valuable input that it has on the flight, on, if you can say, the direction of flight, no pun intended. I realize that as believers in Jesus Christ, and for those in ministry, whether it be as a missionary or as a pastor, but even for you as church members too, in your daily lives, we are called by our Lord and Savior to submit our will to Him. To submit our will to Him. You know, I consider this fact, God wants my will to be subject to His so that He can guide me, so that He can turn me, so that He can direct me according to His good will and His good pleasure. You know, there are times in our life that we resist God's leading. There's times in life that when our flesh has been fed, if you can say. Our flesh has been overfed, and we resist the will of our Lord. You know, I think back to some servants in the Word of God who experienced such a thing. I want to just think about Jonah for a moment. You remember Jonah in the Old Testament? He was a missionary. We can call him a missionary. He was sent out to proclaim a message of the judgment of the Lord on the people of Nineveh. Unless they repent. You know, it's interesting, Jonah, when God said, go to Nineveh, he went the exact opposite direction. He went down to Joppa, which was west, instead of going east. And you know, God had to get his attention. You can say God had to break his will. You know, I've never really trained many animals. I've worked mostly with cattle. I grew up on a dairy farm. And when I was 14, I went into 4-H. And I remember training with some of my 4-H heifers. And I remember working with them, training them to lead, putting the halter on them. And you know what? Some of them at the beginning, they didn't like the halter. They didn't like that halter restricting around their mouth, around their nose. And they didn't like it. You know, they preferred to do their own thing, especially when I got them out of the pen and took them for a walk. They wanted to do their own thing. But I had to slowly, patiently, graciously train them to lead on the halter. You know, it's interesting because as I think about that, I realize the fact that, you know, the Lord, He wants to be able to lead us. And He says, follow me. You remember in the Bible with the disciples, He said, come after me and I will make you fishers to become fishers of men. You know, I think about the control column. Sometimes I ask myself, Lord, I want to make sure, yes, I've submitted my life, I've submitted my will to Him, to follow Him, to going to serve Him as a missionary. You know what, in my day-to-day life, do I continue to submit to His will, to His leading, to His guidance, to His direction in my daily life? Now, I want to encourage you here this morning to have your will to be submitted to the will of the Lord. I want to contemplate another aspect of the airplane, and that is the radio. And I'm just going to ask you how many of you have ever heard, I don't know if you have ever taken the time or been in a position where you've been able to hear the aviation lingo, I guess if you can say that. How many of, have anybody ever heard pilots and controllers talking? I know my family has. Okay, so a few of you have been able to hear it. Did it sound like those that raised your hand, did it sound just about like Greek to you when they were talking? Okay. You know, it's interesting. Some people, when they hear me talking on the radio, they'll say, oh, what did you say? Is that English? Or what were you speaking? I say, yeah, I was speaking English. They say, well, it didn't make any sense to us. And you know, sometimes it doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, when I think about the radio, on the radio, I can announce my intentions. If I'm at an uncontrolled airport, I can announce my intentions that I'm going to taxi in order to take off. I can also announce the intentions if we're getting ready to land. Also on the radio, if there's other pilots around at such an airport, I can communicate with them to coordinate with them. And usually I'll say, you know, you're ahead of me. I'll power back. I'll slow down and give you lots of space. Or I'll make a 360 to give you lots of space and give you lots of time. You know, when I think about that too, I also realize that it's through the radio that the air traffic controllers can give me instruction. And in aviation, we have to repeat all the instructions that are given to us. They say, uniform Zulu Tango, that's the call sign. Clear for takeoff, runway 33, no higher than, don't climb above 2,000 feet. So you read back, clear for takeoff, runway 33, uniform Zulu Tango, and no higher than 2,000. And then you continue with the takeoff. You know, it's interesting when I think about the radio, because I realize that in our walk with the Lord, we have a very special means of communication with our Lord and Savior through the avenue of prayer. Go with me, please, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What a great avenue of prayer the Lord has given to us. And I thank you as a church family and Pastor Linville for encouraging you folks and reminding you folks to pray for your missionaries. We need your prayers. We covet your prayers. And what a special avenue of prayer we have that we can talk directly to our Creator, to God, who is all-powerful, that we can talk directly to Him in prayer. You know, how many times in our lives we can say, yes, we're going to pray for the missionaries, we're going to pray for various other things, but how many times in our lives have you ever heard this saying, well, if all else fails, at least you can pray? How many of you have you heard that saying? Okay, I thought it was maybe just in Canada, but it's not. So you've heard that saying. Have you ever thought about how backwards that saying is? Have you ever thought about how backwards that is? You know, I use this illustration. I shared this just earlier this week with some young people. I use this illustration, so I hope you'll appreciate this illustration. You know, I thought about this with my car. If I have a problem with my car, if I had problems with the car today, you know, I wouldn't say, well, you know what, I'll take it down to Family Dollar and see what they can do with it. Or I'll take it to Martin's. Surely, if anything, I should have bought it when I was at Martin's. Surely they'll know what to do with it at Martin's. No, you would say that's silly. You wouldn't do that. First place you would take your car to if you needed worked on it would be a garage, right? To an automotive mechanic. You know, sadly, I think how sad it is that when the Lord has entrusted us with, or the Lord has given to us this avenue of prayer to come to Him, He says in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, let me just reread it. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In everything by prayer and supplication. You know, my wife and I, we're not very tech savvy. We hear a lot about technology, about Facebook, about Pinterest, about I don't know what other things, but there's a lot of different technology out there, and We have email, and that's about all we know how to do. So we're maybe catching up. But you know, I find it sad how many people, if they have a concern, if they have a need, if they have something that's a burden to them, they'll put it on all their social media things even before they take it to the one who can really do something about it, even before they take it to the Lord. You know, the Bible says, in everything, by prayer and supplication. Even in Hebrews 4:16, the Bible invites us to come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I don't know if you've ever considered that word help, but that word help is an interesting word. It's actually a nautical term. In Hebrews 4:16, it's actually a nautical term that was used on the sea. And it's actually also found in Acts chapter 27 and verse 17 when recounting the journey of the Apostle Paul, who was a prisoner aboard the ship on which they were shipwrecked, actually in Malta, according to chapter 28 and verse 1. But the Bible says that that ship upon which they were sailing, when they were heading into the storm and when they saw the seas getting rough, the Bible says that the sailors used helps to secure the boat. You know, you can probably imagine that a wooden ship, if you were traveling aboard a wooden ship, sailing a wooden ship in high seas, the last thing you want are those boards coming apart. The last thing you want are those boards coming apart. So from my understanding, what they used were these helps, and they would secure them from the left side of the boat. I forget, that's the port side, right? The port side to the, I forget what they use in sea. Starboard side, thank you, to the starboard side. They would use these helps, and they would kind of put them underneath the ship and clamp them down, a bit like with, I don't know, something with a certain type, probably something like a turnbuckle of sorts that they would use. Sorry, the microphone is sailing away. Here, I have to help it. But they would use helps to secure the boat, to secure the wooden planks on the boat, to help hold those planks together when they were in face of a storm. You know, I find that interesting because through that, with the help of those helps, if we can say, with the help of those helps, that allowed for that ship to stay together. The goal was for it to stay together through the storm. You know, I find that interesting that the Bible uses that same term for us to go to find, to come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may find help in time of need. You know, I find it interesting that our Lord invites us, even in our storm, to come before Him to find help, to carry us through, to, if you can say, to keep us together even in the storm. You know, when I think about that verse in Hebrews, it invites us to come to the Lord in prayer, to the throne of grace, to be supported, to be held up, to be kept together in our time of need. I think about the radio too. I think about the fact too that on the radio sometimes we can warn other pilots of something maybe on the runway at the airport. I remember one time I was coming into land, and there was a porcupine on the runway. We just spoke about the porcupines this morning, and Amos and Annie weren't there to help us out. But there was a porcupine on the runway. And so I pulled up and went around, and I radioed the tower. It was at a controlled airport, and I said, "Tower, there's a porcupine on the runway." And so I've elected to go around. And they said, "Oh, no problem." They said, "We'll get somebody out there to take care of him." And it was right where I was going to land, and I thought maybe I should have just kind of powered up a little and landed further down, but I just decided to pull up and go around. And, you know, it's interesting, also, just the last outreach we did up north, up to the James Bay on the flight back, I called in when I got back on the ground. I called NAV Canada, and I was able to tell them, report to them a forest fire I saw. And they said, "Yeah." He said, "Just let me look." So he looked at his satellite imagery. He said, "Oh, I see where that fire is on the satellite." He said, "I can see that now." He said, I will notify the Forest Fire Protection Agency in the province of Quebec. And he said, "Maybe they know about it, maybe they don't, but thank you for reporting it." You know, it's interesting too, because when I think about the radio, I think about the call that the Lord has given to us to communicate the gospel. Mark 16 and verse 15 says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That includes Corinth. That includes, we came through Kenduskeg. Is that the right pronunciation? That includes Kenduskeg. That includes, I think we just came on West Corinth Road, so I'm presuming there's probably a West Corinth. Is that true or maybe not? But anyway, we just drove on West Corinth Road, so I was just thinking there probably is a West Corinth too. But you can put whatever place in there, and it includes that place. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Nobody is to be left out. You know, when I think about that, I just want to share something briefly with you. When we first moved up to northern Quebec, it was after we'd finished our deputation. I remember we had somebody, I remember at one church we were in, a lady said, "Now when you go up to northern Quebec, who are you going to be ministering to? Who are you going to seek to evangelize?" They said, "Are you just going to seek to evangelize the Francophone people? Are you going to try to minister to the English-speaking ones on the North Shore? Are you going to try to witness and evangelize the native population?" I said, "Well, when I look at the Word clearly tells me, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So I said, for us, thankfully, I have a pretty good handle on English, and I have a pretty good handle on French. I know a little bit of Spanish, and I know a little bit of Japanese. Hopefully with one of those four, I should be able to communicate with the majority of people up there. But I said, our goal is to be able to present the gospel to anyone and everyone, because they all need to hear. According to the Word of God, preach the gospel to every creature. Each one needs to hear, whether they're Francophone, whether they're Anglophone, whether they're Innu, whether they're Cree, whether they're Inuit, whether they call themselves Montagnais, whether they're American, Hispanic, whoever, they all need to hear. They all need to hear the gospel. They all need to hear the message of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. You know, when I think about the radio, I think what a tremendous responsibility the Lord has entrusted to each one of us. What a responsibility. And you know, there's people that the Lord has allowed you to rub shoulders with. In French, we say the word côtoie. But there's people the Lord has placed in your path, in your sphere of influence, that perhaps your pastor will never get to meet. There's people the Lord has placed around you that perhaps there'll be no missionaries that they'll come in contact with. But the Lord has placed you in their sphere of influence. I want to just encourage you today, the ones that you are rubbing shoulders with each day, how are you letting the Lord communicate the gospel to them through you? How are you letting the Lord communicate through you the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know, I think about that. I reflect upon my time, even when I was working before we joined BIMI, when I was working as an airplane mechanic in Moncton and then in Fredericton, New Brunswick. You know, the aviation industry, some of the folks are pretty rough around the edges, so to speak. Some of them are pretty rough around the edges. So some of them give a pretty good kind of, good impression. But, you know, you get them relaxed around the lunch table in the hangar, and some of them are pretty rough. But you know what? They need the Savior. They need the Savior. And, you know, I'm thankful for the opportunities the Lord allowed for me to be able to have, to be able to be a witness to those that I worked with. I still remember one individual. He was my boss, actually, when I worked in Moncton for Prince Edward Air. It changed names a few times, as a lot of aviation companies do. But it changed names a few times. But his name was Dave. And he was a pure, true Newfie. And it was interesting. He came over to the base in Moncton one time. And he was there. It was the first time I met him. I'd spoken with him on the phone. And he was there in Moncton. I remember he was asking, we were talking. He said, "Yes, bye." He said, "Wesley, how are you doing there, bye?" And I said, "Oh, doing well, Dave. Thanks for asking." And I said, "It's nice to meet you. Nice to be able to, you know, see you face to face." And it was interesting. That evening, I was working the 4:30 till 1 shift, 4:30 p.m. to 1 a.m. shift. And I remember I was working, we had a plane that we had to get ready. We had to take out of cargo configuration to put in passenger configuration. And so we took the plywood boards out, and we took the netting out, and we vacuumed it up. It looked like a beautiful plane once we got done with it. It looked like a nice passenger plane. And nobody would have known that the day before it was carrying bags and it was a cargo plane. But we had it all vacuumed. It was prim and proper. We had all the seats in, and everything looked nice. But it was interesting, as I was putting the seats in, and they were not that fun to deal with. It was a 40-year-old airplane, and those seats had been in there probably several hundred times, and some of them were a little twisted, some of them were rather cantankerous. And I still remember my supervisor, the licensed mechanic, I was an apprentice at the time, the licensed mechanic, who was on shift with me. He came up beside the plane and, you know, I said, "Yeah, you're getting it okay? Yeah, it's going okay. Thanks so much, Eric." And up beside him came Dave. And Dave stuck around there. Eric went away, and then he came back. He said, "What are you doing, Dave?" He said, I'm just waiting long enough. He says, "I want to see how long it takes Wes to cuss." He said, "Because I want to, because you're doing this, it's a hard job." And it was interesting, Eric's response. I didn't say anything. I heard him back there, but I was working away at the seats. And Eric said, "Oh, you'll be standing here a long time. You won't hear Wes cuss because he's a Christian." You know, it's interesting. I think our mouths are given, we have a message to proclaim, but how many times, too, is it possible that maybe even in our language, maybe we can either increase our witness or we can decrease from our witness? I want to encourage you today, as you think about the communication and you think about the radio, you think about the avenue of prayer, but you also think about the avenue of communication. And the Lord has entrusted us this message of the gospel to communicate with every creature. How are you being used of the Lord? And how are you letting the Lord use you to communicate the gospel with those around you? Fourth thing I want to draw your attention to in the plane is the checklist. And the checklist, it's interesting, but on a checklist, there's everything from every phase of flight. Just can you folks think about some various phases of flight? Those that have flown, those that haven't, what different phases of flight are there that maybe takes referencing a checklist? Anybody think about some different phases of flight, or even before the flight? Anybody? The takeoff and landing, exactly. There's a checklist portion for the takeoff. Different settings, different things you have to have for the takeoff, for the landing as well. Anything else?
Attitude.
The attitude, yes, exactly. Pitch up, pitch down, exactly. We're going to talk about that a little more too. It's interesting. For every different phase, there's checklists. I've got a page for when I do my walk around, my pre-flight. I've got another page for the startup. I've got other checklists for taxi and different checks I do while I'm taxiing. I've got other checks for when I take off, before takeoff checks, and then climb checks, cruise checks, descent checks, landing checks, and shutdown. You know, there's even other checks too, emergency checklist. And there's some items that are mandatory, that are obligatory, you have memorized. But there's emergency checklists as well. What if we have smoke in the cabin? What if we have a fire on board? What if we have an engine fire? There's emergency checklists as well. You know, I think about that. I think about the Word of God, which is for us a checklist. Even Psalm 119, verse 11, brings this to light. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Very familiar verses. You probably have them memorized. But I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 1 and 2. I especially want to just have you notice the last few verses of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says to us in Romans 12, 1 and 2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, what a great blessing the Lord has given to us, His Word. As a checklist, we can use that word, if we can borrow that word, as a checklist. To be able to use it as a measure to be able to verify what is honoring to the Lord and what is not honoring to the Lord. To be able to discern what is right, what is wrong, what pleases God, what does not please Him. What is wise, what is unwise. Also to be able to verify that what we're doing, that it lines up with the Word of God itself. The second to last thing I want to draw your attention to is the power, or the accelerator, if you might better say, but we use the power in the airplane, the power lever, but we would know it in the car as the accelerator. But I want you to go with me to John chapter 16 and verse 13. John chapter 16 and verse 13. John chapter 16 and verse 13. The Bible says, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." You know, I think about the work of the Holy Spirit in our life and how He uses the Word to direct us, to teach us, to instruct us. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 119, 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You know, I think about that. I think about the power and the accelerator in the airplane. You know, in an airplane, without the throttle, without the power, you know, we can descend. If we're at altitude, we can descend. We can glide, but we can't climb, and we cannot maintain altitude. If you lose your engine, you can glide, but you cannot maintain altitude and you cannot climb. You know, it's interesting. Well, there's a way you can do it. You can build up a lot of airspeed and then come up, but you can't maintain that climb. You know, it's interesting when I think about that. I think, how many times do believers seek to do things in their own power and their own strength without the Lord? You know, I think about that. I realize that, you know, without the gas, without the fuel, we can't move forward. We can't accelerate. We can descend, but we can't accelerate it. And you know, I heard somebody kind of comically say, they say the prop on an airplane, on a small plane, is the pilot's fan. Because when the fan stops moving, the pilot starts to sweat. And it's kind of a comical thing, but it has greater ramifications, obviously. And you know, I think about the fact that, yes, without fuel, without the throttle to be able to put that fuel into the engine, I can't climb, I can't maintain altitude. I can glide, but I can't climb. I cannot accelerate. I cannot move forward. I cannot advance. You know, I realize without the work of the Holy Spirit in my life, without me yielding to the Holy Spirit, without me being instructed in the Word, I can stagnate. I can even go backwards, but I can't move forward. And you know, sometimes I reflect upon this as I think even the work of missions too. Because as Pastor Linville knows, and those who perhaps are here this morning that would normally be teaching a Sunday school class, you know that there's a lot of effort and there's a lot of it's a spiritual battle when you're teaching the Word. You know, we also need to be getting filled up too. We also need to be kind of getting our resource kind of tanked up, if you will. You know, we need the Holy Spirit of God to be directing us in truth, to be convicting us, to be leading us, to be guiding us. You know, I don't want to go through the day. I don't want to go through ministry on my own strength, because the Bible says, without me, ye can do, can you fill in the next word? Nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. The last thing I want to draw to your attention, Pastor Linville said it earlier, is the attitude indicator. And maybe some of you have seen an attitude indicator. I've got a picture of it on my phone, but however, it's not quite big enough to be able to for you to all to see it on my phone. But you, if you look in our presentation tonight, you'll see the attitude indicator. It's a little instrument on the top, in the center of the basic instrument package, and it has blue on top and brown on the bottom. Can somebody guess what the blue stands for? The sky. You got it. And the brown? The ground. Exactly. So even in the winter, we don't calculate there's snow. But yeah, the exactly. Blue is for sky. Brown is for ground. And on the center is the wings. That's kind of the airplane. That represents the airplane. And it shows us, our attitude indicator shows us if we're turning. We can see if we're turning 15 degrees, 30 degree bank, 45 or 60 degree bank, or even 90. If you're at 90, that's for high performance military planes. But then it also shows if we're descending or if we're climbing and how many degrees we're descending or we're climbing. You know, I think about the attitude indicator of the airplane. I think about the fact that in the Word of God, we're instructed in the Word of God, and the Word of God is kind of an attitude indicator for us. It's a gauge for us to see, how are we doing? Where are we at? Turn with me, please, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. It's interesting, in here in James chapter 1, James, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he uses the Word of God and symbolizes it, if you can say, as a mirror, that the Word of God is like a mirror to us. And it says in James chapter 1, verses 23 and 24, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." You know, I look in the mirror in the morning and see what needs some help. You know, if I were to walk away and do nothing about it, that would be unwise. How often, though, in our lives do we read the Word and maybe the Lord convicts us, the Holy Spirit convicts us through His Word, and maybe we do nothing? You know, the Bible calls that unwise, forgetful here. You know, and I also think about the attitude. I think about the fact that in 1 Timothy, the Bible, Paul the Apostle, he challenges Timothy to be an example. One of the areas he says is in his spirit. In his spirit. You know, I wonder, in our own lives, do we give a sweet smell, a sweet aroma to those around us? How is our spirit? How is our attitude? You know, probably you've met people, they look pleasant, they look nice, and they started talking and you realized that their spirit it didn't smell pretty. You know, when I think about that, I realize that I ask the Lord, I say, "Lord, I want to give off a sweet aroma. I want to give aroma of your grace, of your love, of your care for each one." I remember the former church planter in Trois-Rivières, he said, "A church is a lot like a hospital, because it's at a church where folks can come that are broken, and Lord willing, through the power of the Word, through the teaching of the Word, and through the care, the grace that is, and compassion that is shown, they can experience healing spiritually in the Lord, but also they can experience compassion and love, the love of Christ to be shown to them." You know, it's a sobering thought as I consider these six different things in the plane: the windshield, the control yoke, radio, the checklist, the power, and the artificial horizon. But as I also think about that, I think about the shield of faith. I think about submitting my will to the will of the Lord. I think about our being faithful in prayer, and think about even being faithful in the Word of God, like our checklist, and also being attentive to the work of the Holy Spirit in my life, and also keeping my attitude really controlled by the Holy Spirit. You know, I realize that in the plane, if I neglect one of these things that we mentioned this morning, the outcome can be catastrophic. The outcome can potentially be catastrophic. And just for just to wrap this up, it's interesting. I've heard, we're told the little foxes that spoil the vine. I've heard also the small compromises lead to big disasters. You know, it's interesting, in an airplane, if our heading is off by 1 degree, on the compass. Let's say we say, well, we're supposed to follow a track of 331 degrees. Let's say the pilot gets in the plane. He says, "Hey, I don't really feel like following 331 degrees. That really just doesn't float my boat, so to speak. I'm just going to fly a track of 330 degrees. Interesting math, really quick. After 60 nautical miles, the pilot would miss his destination by 1 nautical mile, 1.15 statute miles. He'd be off course. If he flew 6,000 miles, being 1 degree off the proper track, he would miss his destination by 115 statute miles. Small compromises lead to big disasters. I want to encourage you this morning, as I think about the shield of faith, I think about submitting our will to the Lord, I think about our being faithful and making our requests known to the Lord, thinking about the Word of God, how it speaks to us, and also keeping our attitude controlled by our Lord and Savior. I want to encourage you in these areas. In keeping these areas in check, so to speak, you can continue to be well equipped in the life that the Lord has for you here and in the ministry that the Lord has entrusted you with. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for these things in the airplane we can use just as a little illustration and an example. The Lord, I thank you that you have given us all that we need to please you and to honor you and for your service. And Lord, I pray that we would be diligent, Lord, in bringing them into submission to you. We'd be diligent also, Lord, in building our faith. And Lord, you would just help each one of us, Lord, to be effective instruments and tools to be used by you. In Jesus' name I pray.